Good day, everyone, and welcome to the RLH second quarter 2018 earnings conference call. My name is Robert, and I will be your conference operator today. Last Friday, RLH issued its second quarterly report. If you did not receive a copy via email, please do not hesitate to visit the website or to contact us at +52 6393 3000. We would like to remind you that this event is being recorded and all participants will be in a listen-only mode during the presentation. After the presentation of the company has finished, there will be a Q&A session. At that time, additional instructions will be given. Before moving forward, let me mention that the projections included in this presentation are based on beliefs and assumptions of RLH Properties Administration and on information currently available from the company. These projections involve risks and uncertainties because they refer to future events. Therefore, they depend on circumstances that may or may not occur. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of RLH Properties and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in the projections included in this presentation. Next, I leave you with Mr. Geronimo Bremer, Chairman of the Executive Committee and Member of the Board, and Mr. Borja Escalada, General Director. Mr. Geronimo Bremer, you may begin your presentation.
Thank you, and thank you all for assisting this call of the second quarter results of 2018 of RLH Properties. I will summarize the highlights of this quarter. As we've discussed in the past, in March and early April, we closed all the phases of the capital increase for a total of 6,076 million pesos at a share price of 18.3 pesos per share, and it was fully subscribed by current shareholders, including the contribution of the Mandarina project in Riviera Nayarit, which includes about approximately 148 one-only and Rosewood branded residences to be developed. As you well know, the cash portion of the capital increase will be allocated firstly to the acquisition of the remaining minority stake of the OHL in the Mayacoba complex, also the acquisition of the branded residential business in Mayacoba, and as well potential further acquisitions within our areas of expertise and hotel segment, and finally for the development of the One Only Mandarina and Rosewood Mandarina hotels. Taking altogether all the capital increases we've done since the IPO in November 2015, RLH Property has raised approximately 13,728 million pesos. And considering the 22.7% increase in the company's share price, our market cap is roughly at 16,448.6 million pesos. On April 24th this year, we successfully closed the acquisition of the minority stakes of the Mayacoba master plan and assets. Specifically, after these minority acquisitions, we currently, as in our portfolio, we currently own 100% of the Four Seasons Mexico City, 100% of the Rosewood Mayacoba, 100% of El Camaleon Golf Course, 95% of the Banyan Tree Mayacoba Hotel, and 90% of the Fairmont Mayacoba Hotel, and 60% of the Andaz Mayacoba. These stakes are pro forma for the acquisitions of the minority stakes held by OHL. The overall transaction value of these minority acquisitions and related assets was $57.2 million. With that, I will pass on the word to Borja to talk about the highlights and the performance of the portfolio. Borja, please go ahead.
Thank you very much, Geronimo. Just to remember to all of us, the actual portfolio of the company, we currently have 10 assets. Out of those, we have 1,351 hotel rooms. Out of those, 1,116 are actually under operation and 235 rooms are under development, totalizing all of them in 7 assets. We've got also 148 One and Only and Rosewood branded residentials under development, as Geronimo mentioned, on the Mandarina development. And we also have acquired during the last quarter, the residential of Fairmont Heritage Place in Mayakoba, which represents 58 full ownership residences and approximately 168 fractional units. And finally, we also have the golf course El Camaleon with 18 holes. So actually, out of the hotels, we've got, as we always do, in order to be more clear on the presentation of our results, we divide all our assets on operating assets and assets under development or stabilization. Under operating assets, we've got the stabilized ones, which are the four hotels of Four Seasons Mexico City with 240 rooms, Rosewood Mayakoba with 129 rooms, Banyan Tree Mayakoba with 132 rooms, and finally Fairmont Mayakoba with 401 rooms. We've got one asset under ramp-ups scenario, which will be the Andat Mayakoba with 214 rooms, and finally the other asset under operation with this El Camaleon golf course with 18 golf holes, and as you know, a PGA tournament golf course entitled. Regarding our assets under development, we've got actually two hotels, one and only in Rosewood Mandarina, totalizing both of them 235 rooms, and the branded residential component, both in Mandarina, with 148 branded rooms, branded residences, excuse me, we have just mentioned, and the Fairmont Heritage Place, including 58 full ownership and 168 fractional residences. We do not include here, actually, the Rosewood Mandarina residences, Rosewood, excuse me, Mayakoba residences, which, as you know, we have already signed an SPA, as we mentioned to the market, but because the condition precedents have not all of them fulfilled, we have not closed this transaction. So none of those 33 residences are actually on our books. Regarding then the assets under development, we've got the one and only Mandarina, 108 rooms, as you know, which is actually under construction, expecting opening by the end of 2019. Rosewood Mandarina Hotel, actually under conceptual design. Mandarina branded residences, as Geronimo mentioned, on this quarter, we complete the capital increase, including the contribution by Actur, the acquisition to Actur, of the rest of the Mandarina development resort, which includes all the land for the development of 248 residences. So the number of branded residences that relate is actually development has increased from 20 to 148, both on one and only. Some of them are already pre-sold, as we will mention afterwards, and Rosewood Mandarina residences, which are actually under conceptual design. And finally, also new for this quarter, the Mayakoba branded residences, as I mentioned, from Ojeda's place. Regarding the year-to-date results of the stabilized assets, the aggregate occupancy has reached nearly 70%, which represents an increase of 2.4 against the occupancy of same period in 2017, with an average daily rate ADR of more or less $473, which is nearly 5% above the same period last year, ending therefore with a RevPAR of $331, more or less 8.5% above same period last year. Regarding the these stabilized assets EBITDA, we reach nearly 600 million with these pesos, which is $31 million, which represents an increase of 5.6% compared to the same period, and basically nearly a 10% increase in U.S. dollars. The EBITDA of all the operating assets goes up to 600 million pesos, probably $32 million, which represents a 15.4% against the same period, and an increase of nearly 20% if we consider both figures in U.S. dollars. As mentioned then, the stabilized assets, just considering this quarter, ended with $391 U.S. dollars ADR against $403 regarding last year. That's I think that something really relevant to mention is that Easter days happened last year during the second quarter, while this year Easter took place on the first quarter, which means that there's not so representative the variances between first and second quarter, second quarter this year and second quarter last year, because Easter obviously has a big impact both in IDR and occupancy. There was also another relevant event the second quarter that we didn't have last year, which were the travel alert issued by the United States Embassy in Mexico, which affected both transients and also groups, estimating an impact of more or less 300,000 just in cancellations by group, plus other reservations that didn't come because of such a travel alert, which has already been, which was canceled within 2 or 3 days. But that affected our results during the second quarter. Saying that, as we have seen, the first half or year-to-date results of the whole year, which is, eliminates this stationality effect of when Easter happens, shows us an increase of nearly, as mentioned, of 20% against last year. As said, quarter-to-quarter occupancy was nearly at the same level, 65% on both quarters, with a RevPAR of $254 for this quarter against $263 last quarter. Nearly margins dropped a bit against last quarter, basically due to the reduction of ADR as a consequence of the Easter event we were just mentioning. If we consider the operating assets, we ended with $379 of ADR against $391 last year, with an occupancy a bit higher this quarter, 58.9 against 58.1. That's due to the very good behavior that Andaz Mayakoba is having. As we mentioned, this is our assets on the ramp up, where we have increased a lot our results in growing the occupancy of South Hotel and also the ADR of the hotel against last year is about 3% more or less on average both things. ADR ended on 379, as mentioned, and the EBITDA of all the operating assets reached more or less $9.6 million, and the EBITDA net of F&E reserve raised $8.2 million just for this quarter. Regarding the development portfolio, the one and only Mandarina continues with its execution. Actually, Jetty, as you might remember, with their three structures, which are the Jetty structure at its own plus two breakwaters, are under construction. We also ended satisfactorily the construction of the two mock-up rooms, both for the standout of the Treehouse and the Ocean Cliff. And we are actually under construction of 37 of the rooms against 15 that were under construction last quarter. So we are actually on time and on budget with the construction of the hotel. Branded one and only villas and branded Rosewood villas are actually under conceptual design. The one and only villas are even some of them in pre-sales. We have already pre-sold 7 villas, which have been already formalized. 3 of those are actually under construction, and we are also advancing well under budget and schedule with all the infrastructure interior for all the branded residences. Regarding the Rosewood Rosewood Mandarina, we are also under conceptual design as defined, and regarding the expansion that we also have mentioned in different quarters of Banyan Tree, we have already ended construction conceptual design, and we are actually working on construction documents with our goal remained as a schedule of starting construction in January next year and ending by August 2020, the new rooms. Regarding the financial results that have been presented, important to say that those financial statements were approved by our board of directors last 25th of July and have been reviewed with a limited review by our auditor, PricewaterhouseCoopers. It's important to mention that the financial statements are difficult to be compared against last year due to the fact of the differences that the transactions that we have been closing then. As I might have remembered, in April 2017, we acquired the first 51% of the whole Mayakoba Resort, including the 51% of the four hotels and the golf course El Camaleón. Afterwards, in May, on 19th of May 2017, we acquired an additional 29% in Fairmont and Rosewood, taking our stake to 80%, which means that in last year, 2017, second quarter even was not completed with all Mayakoba, and the first quarter has no Mayakoba at all. Our only assets under operation was Four Seasons Mexico City. This year, even more, in April 2018, we have acquired the remaining stake of OHL on the whole Mayakoba portfolio, which means that, as Jeronimo mentioned, we actually own 100% of Rosewood Mayakoba, 89.84% of Fairmont Mayakoba. The remaining 10.06% is held by Fairmont. 94.4% we own already in Banyan Tree. The remaining 5.6% is owned by the operator, by Banyan Tree. And we own 60% of Hyatt and Dath. 40% is owned also by the operator, which is Hyatt. And we own 100% of El Camaleón, among other facilities on the resort, such as the main offices, the marina, and the small village and other facilities that have been acquired on the last transactions. Therefore, for clarity, we have tried to present selected data from our consolidated standard financial statements with a pro forma, considering all the assets as if they have been acquired since 1st of January 2017. Also remember that according to the transactions closed, even the transaction 2017 was closed in April, all the results since 1st of January were included in the transaction, but due to international accounting standards, those were not booked on our profit and loss account, but against the price and therefore on the goodwill that was paid. If we compare this aggregate pro forma to our consolidated statements in the first quarter of 2018, we can see that total revenues came up from 1.8 billion pesos to nearly 2 billion pesos, which means a nearly 10% increase year to year, mainly due to increase of room revenues and a very good behavior of the food and beverage revenues as a result of the different concepts that we have been including or changing on in all our portfolio. Regarding the recurring EBITDA, we ended in 600 million pesos, which is nearly 16% above last performance of the same period last year, which ended in nearly 520 million. And the recurring EBITDA after corporate expenses ended in 510 million pesos, which is 16% against the 440, considering that we have not it doesn't consider non-recurring expenses or no recurring income, as for example all the expenses related to the compensation approved last year. So regarding finally cash flow statement, we ended with a cash equivalent at the end of the period of nearly 6 billion pesos, mainly due to the capital increase that Jeronimo was mentioned. Also due to the investments that we have already done on the acquiring of the Mayakoba stake of OHL and other assets in Mayakoba, which nearly raised up to 1 billion, 825 million pesos for the minority stakes in the hotels, and 171 million for Fairmont Heritage Place, actually, and 246 for those for loans and 246 for the equity of Fairmont Heritage Place. Our net cash flow for operating activities came up to 256 million pesos, including the difference of the of on the losses of the year, which are due to non-cash, most of them because of the internalization, which raised to nearly 800 million pesos booked on our records. Regarding balance sheet, as you can see, and as mentioned, we ended on nearly 6 billion pesos of capital due to the capital increase as mentioned. And our account receivables ended increasing 126 million pesos, mainly due to the, some receivables regarding the recent transaction we have made with OHL, and certain account receivables of 37.4 million pesos, partially offset already with VAT that we have been recovering. Also, there you will see a slight difference on related parties balances at the end of December 2017 and this quarter. That's basically because as OHL has sold all their stake in Majakova, they are not considered actually a related party anymore. So all balances with OHL has been reclassified to payables or receivables with third parties. The fixed assets obviously have been grown due to the acquisitions of the Majakova project that we have been mentioning, and other fixed assets, including the construction of the one and only Mandarina and other development assets. Bank debt is actually on an amount of 4.3 billion pesos, which has decreased on 22.2 billion pesos due to repayments and also due to refinancing that we have closed for Four Seasons and Banyan Tree Majakova. So the net interest between accrued and paid also raised to 10.3 million, and there was also a FX losses of 2.4 million, which obviously do not mean any cash out or cash in, but a difference on our balance sheet. Deferred taxes also increased on 87.2 million pesos due basically to the higher fixed asset or the FX effect that we have just mentioned. Derivatives as of June 30, 2018, the financial instruments has to cover the bank loans interest rate risk that we have actually, and their fair value has decreased in 0.5 million pesos and is a part of the other integrated results. And finally, the equity, as we just mentioned, there was a capital increase of nearly 3 billion pesos plus a share premium of another 3 billion pesos. If we consider that one plus the accounting net loss, which includes, as we have mentioned, some non-cash expenses such as FX effect and the compensation that was recognized with granting shares, and we consider the rest of the FX effect, we end on the actual capital where we actually are ending with a capital of 14.5 billion pesos more or less. So I don't know, Jeronimo, if you want to inform us about the gross assets value as of 30th of June 2018.
Yes, thank you, Borja. Well, based on our commitment to having the best-in-class reporting, our board, our last board meeting approved the methodology to report a total gross asset value for the company. These will help analysts and investors have a sense of the valuation of our properties. These gross asset value is based on appraisals made by third-party companies. In this case, it's a Jones and LaSalle that did it for the 31st of December 2017. And the total gross asset value amounts to $1,030.2 million. This is a dollar figure, so around $1 billion. And basically, to illustrate the differences in the methodologies used for the different type of assets that we own, for the operating assets, obviously they're stabilized. Usually it's based on a DCF or cap rate. In terms for the Bani entry, Mayakoba, that is undergoing a hotel expansion, the value includes the value of the expansion net of the remaining CapEx investments for this project going forward. In the case of the Andaz property, the appraisal value obviously takes into account the ramp up currently. In terms of the assets under development, for the case of the one only Mandarina Hotel, it's similar to the Banyan Tree in the sense that it is valuing the hotel project net of the remaining CapEx investments from now until opening. And in terms of the Rosewood Mandarina Hotel, is a land appraisal value as the consortium has not yet started. And for the and similar for the case of the Mandarina brand residences that are under development and will be under development for many, many years, here is the value of the land using the project. And the Mayakoba branded residences are being valued as an acquisition price, similar to the other assets. This is basically, we will be given this figure on a yearly basis. That's basically with regards to the gross asset value. In case, Borja, if you don't have any other points to highlight, we can move then to questions, Q&A. So, operator, we are ready for Q&A.
Thank you. At this time, we'll be conducting a question-and-answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the questioning queue. You may press star 2 if you'd like to remove your question from the queue. For participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up your handset before pressing the star keys. One moment, please, while we poll for questions. As a reminder, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. One moment, please, while we poll for questions. Our first question is from Richard Lee with Autonomy Capital. Please proceed with your question.
Hi, guys. Thanks for the call. Always good to catch up on the results. Notice that this quarter was the first one that you started reporting the Mayakoba branded residences portfolio. Would you mind kind of walking through that segment in more detail, kind of A, what each component was acquired for, how you're viewing each component, whether a component of those are going to be used as kind of added to the hotel pool or these are continue to be available for sale assets?
Mm-hmm. Sure. Borja, briefly, Richard. Basically, the branded residences are for sale, and as they are delivered, then obviously the owner that opts to stay within the rental pool, then when these villas are rented out, then the hotel revenue will account for the percentage of the revenues of the rental pool that are that belong or accrue to the hotel. That's the way that that will work in the accounting terms. Borja, I don't know if you want to add something to that.
No, that's basically, as Fernando was saying, Richard, we will be selling both in the ones that we have actually under our balance sheet, which are the Fremont Heritage Place. We've got full ownership, which will be directly sold to one owner, and those will be or could be within the rental program of the hotel, which also will have an impact both on the sharing of the rental and also on the food and beverage and other consumptions within the hotel. And the other ones are the fractional ones, which are sold to 12 individuals, which will be using them within 4 weeks, each of them. Not using that one, they can put it also on the rental program. And those ones will have maybe a higher occupancy with the owners, and it will have an impact also in food and beverage. And obviously, all of them will have the will have impact on our profit and loss accounts due to the selling of the units.
And Richard, just note on page two that the only ones that are currently in our balance sheet are the Fairmont Heritage Place residences, because the Rosewood residences are the transaction has not yet closed. We are looking to close that in the second quarter.
So just so I'm sorry, guys, just so I'm matching up kind of the cash flow statement. Basically, the 247 million pesos, right, that was to buy the 38 full ownership residences and the 67 fractional residences. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay, and the remaining 20 full ownership residences, where are those then?
No, those are 58. The 200 pesos are the 58 full ownership residences plus 168 fractional units. Out of those, 20 have already been sold, and 38 are the ones that are remaining to be sold.
I see. And so, how did you think about the valuation then for I guess the sold units versus the, I guess if I'm breaking down this 247 million pesos, how should I think about how you this and are any of the 38 and 67 constructed, or they're completely unconstructed today?
No. Most of them are not constructed, because most of them are under construction. There are some of them are under construction. What we try to do is we pre-sell a whole building and we start construction of that building. But under valuation, what we did is a discount cash flow, where the sold ones, there were some remaining receivables that were mm-hmm. discounted at a certain discount rate. And the ones to be sold were discounted at a different, obviously a higher one, discount rate. And so we have made a valuation of the whole business, the whole company from our Heritage Place, as a discount cash flow of the estimated cash flows to be generated as a result of the selling process. Non-valuation has been done to the additional business that will be generated to the hotels.
Correct.
So today, just so it's clear too, the 20 that have been sold that you purchased, those as of today were added into the receivable balance on the balance sheet? And
yes,
then the 38, and 38 will just be, I guess, over time as you guys book sales and recognize, I guess, construction yeah. costs, you'll start to recognize revenues against them, or how should I think about this going forward?
Yeah, that's exactly. Some of the ones that were already sold were already full paid, and other ones and even given already to their owners. Other ones were not completed constructions and were not delivered to the owners. So there were some receivables that we discounted, and regarding that, the ones that were not sold yet. You will see on our future profit and loss accounts or our financial statements, you will see the cash flows that will be generated by those units by selling them, and some of them that were nearly constructed, some negative cash flow for ending construction, and the other ones that have to be constructed, plus the positive cash flows of the purchase price that we will sell them to third parties.
I see. And the 33 Rosewood residences, is there a? Do you have a
yeah.
purchase price already for that?
Yeah, that has already been agreed, a purchase price, and we already have a profit and loss an SPA closed for that one. So we are just waiting for the condition precedents to be fulfilled. The total value of all the business is a bit below $10 million, $9 point something million.
Okay. Those are partially sold, or some of those are unconstructed, or
yeah.
most of those are receivables. Kind of what does that look like?
Yeah, there's all the ones that have been sold have already been constructed and also delivered to the owners. There's only one residence which is already fully constructed, which has not been sold, and which is actually under the rental program of the hotel. And there are the other ones are remaining to be sold. Well, recently, since we signed the SPA, we own, obviously, as a lockbox, all the business, indeed. So we sold one of those 3 weeks ago for roughly $6 million, and that will start construction in the following weeks. So the business here is we do not start construction until we pre-sell the unit, as we are doing on One and Only Mandarin.
Gotcha.
And usually okay, the payment terms is, roughly speaking, one-third upon, you know, when one-third on signing, and then we start constructing, then another third when you have delivered kind of the rooftop, and then one-third of the payment when you deliver the whole house. So when we have receivables from the residential product that we acquired that was sold but not yet delivered is mostly this second or third payment that's outstanding and that the villa has not yet been delivered, right?
Gotcha. Okay. Just a couple more questions, and then I'll get back in the queue. But just so I understand also, of the 628 million pesos of CapEx during the quarter, is it fair to assume that all of that was for the One and Only Mandarina Hotel, or was a portion of that now starting to be for the One and Only Mandarina Villas? Can you kind of give some more breakdown on that? And kind of where do we sit on in terms of CapEx deployed at the hotel and on the villas versus what remains to be deployed at this point?
Yeah. Regarding the One and Only, during the first half of the year, we have already developed about $10 million or dollars totally during the year, and we should be doing this year up to about $35 million additional, and the budget will remain as expected, totalizing construction, just construction, not including land, building expenses, working capital, and technical services agreements, up to $114.5 million. So out of the, so we have actually roughly $270 million actually on our financial statements that came up from the one and only construction. We have also on those 628, so there's nearly 300 million there, 250 million that came from the Fairmont Heritage Place acquisition, and 171 million are coming from loans granted to third parties, which is basically the OHL, as a result of the transactions that we have been closing in order to pay them for shareholders' loans that were on the transaction. So that came you to the 628.
I'm sorry. Maybe I didn't follow. So of the 628, you said 200 and something odd million. I know it's kind of in here.
So there's
628.
There's
you have 331 for the acquisition of FF&E, 297 million for investment in construction in progress, which should be the two components basically of that. It's what I'm first asking is of that 331 and 297, is that all hotel related or was a portion of that villa related, I guess?
No, the 620 out of the 628, 297 are due to constructions in process, which are 90%, which are 85% hotel related and 15% to villas related, which is basically for the internal roads and infrastructure of villas. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got 246 million pesos also for the acquisition of the Fairmont Heritage Place residences. That's those are the main components.
But how about the 331 of acquisition of FF&E? Where is that going to?
The 331 are related to acquisitions we have done under the renovations we have been doing on Rosewood Mayakoba partially, and also on a part will be the branded that you were mentioning in in Mandarina.
I see. Okay. I'll let someone else ask a few questions. Thanks.
No, you're welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've reached the end of the question and answer session. I'd now like to turn the call back to Mr. Geronimo Bremer and Mr. Borca Escalada for closing comments.
Yeah, I'm sure if there are no other questions, I want to thank you all for your assistance and let you know that we're available, our investor relations team, if there is any additional question that someone may have on any of the figures that we have reported here. And thank you all, and unless there are no other questions, operator, we can move forward.
This concludes today's conference. You may disconnect your lines at this time, and we do thank you for your participation.